सभी लोग जानते ही हैं। तो आज जो टॉपिक है, अगर किसी हमारे निकट संबंधी की डेथ हो जाती है और हमको जितना लगाव रहता है उससे, तो हाउ डू वी डिटैच आवरसेल्व्स फ्रॉम दैट डिपार्टेड सोल। तो प्लीज जोर से स्वागत कीजिए।
So I'm going to be reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita and from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, it's always best to start with the 12-syllable mantra. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bolo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, so let us begin with chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, text number 27. The second chapter of Bhagavad Gita is entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized. And when Krishna begins to instruct Arjuna, the recurring thing or theme is Natvam Socitam Arhasi, which is also in the verse that I selected. Please repeat. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityor Dhruvang janma mritasya cha Tasmad aparihari yerte Natvang socitam arahasi. So that last line, Natvang socitam arahasi, which is repeated several times in these 20 verses which begin Krishna's teachings of Bhagavad Gita, means you do not deserve to lament. You are above, you should be above lamentation. Let's see what this verse says. Please repeat. One who has taken birth is sure to die. And after death, one is sure to take birth again. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. Now, this verse, we could say, is the facts of life. In other words, there's no need to lament about something when it is, as it says here, unavoidable, inevitable. There's no use in lamenting. It's just a fact of life. But what is encouraging, if you listen to this verse carefully, and when you recited it, if you were actually conscious of what you were saying, this sheds a whole nother perspective about this whole thing of dying. Because there is no death. Why? You are sure to take birth again. So what's died? What's died is the outward shell. Also in this section, Krishna says that just like you change your clothes, when your clothes get worn out, you don't lament. You know there's another set of clothes available to you. So you don't lament over a set of clothes. Or in the end of Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 18, Krishna will say, you are seated as if on a machine made of material energy. All of you rode in a car. How many people walked here? No, you all rode on a car. How many cars have you had in your lifetime? You're not driving the same car you started off with. Many of you started off with a simple car. Now you have your Benzes and your Beamers and your whatever. You've upgraded all along. Better in you don't miss that old Corolla, do you? No, you got a better one. So in the same way, death simply means, well, it could mean degrade. But if you're good, it means upgrade. When you go on an airplane, sometimes, like when I do a lot of flying, sometimes I get an upgrade. They'll tell me at the ticket, oh, Mr. D'Angelo, we're going to put you in first class today. Oh, thank you. You get an upgrade. So if you are pious, and if you're not too sinful, if you're pious, death simply means upgrade to a better body, a better living condition. Then why are we lamenting? Yes, if you get a degrade, a downgrade, oh, that's lamentable. Yes, and actually in this chapter of Bhagavad, this section, Krishna says, actually, the most dangerous fear is that downgrade. What is that downgrade? You miss the opportunity of human life. You take birth as an animal or a reptile, a bird, aquatic, right? Insect. Yes, there are 8 million lower forms of life. That is the most dangerous type of fear. But if you're pious, if you're religious, then you will get an upgrade. Therefore, Krishna said, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty. Yes, this is something I've been preaching a lot recently. Duty. Everybody has duties. No one is excused. The mere fact that you have a human body means with that human body, you have responsibilities. Again, I'll go back to the example of a car. You can't drive that car until you pass two examinations, a written and also a manual. You have to go, somebody goes with you and sees that you know how to parallel park. That's usually the one that gets everybody. Right? So you have to pass two examinations. And then, when you get that license to drive, it is assumed that you know all the rules and regulations for driving on the freeway and on the streets. And when the policeman pulls you over and you say, "Officer, I didn't know it was wrong to go 100 miles an hour in a school zone." Ignorance is no excuse. The police officer will say, "No, you were supposed to know." So in the same way, when it's time to be judged at the end of life, we cannot say, "Oh, I didn't know it was wrong to do this. I didn't know." You were supposed to know. That's why in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, at the very end of chapter 16, Krishna says, therefore, chapter 16, by the way, is where Krishna goes into detail of the mentality of a demon. So at the end of that, Krishna says, therefore, one should know what is to be done and what is not to be done by referring to the scriptures. Now the next question will be somebody, oh, there's so many Vedas, there are Upanishads, there are so many. Prabhupada answers that. We have Prabhupada here. Prabhupada has answered that question. Prabhupada knows what you're thinking, therefore he writes his books. He's answered all your questions. What does Prabhupada say? He says, it is not necessary to read all the Vedas. And by the way, you don't have time anyway. Therefore, just read one book, Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because it's the essence of all the Vedas. You just know Bhagavad Gita, you'll pass your examination in front of Yamaraj. No problem. If you live your life according to Bhagavad Gita, you will do just fine. How many of you have been living according to Bhagavad Gita your whole life? That's all. Okay, how many of you are living according to Bhagavad Gita now? Come on. If I can live my life according to Bhagavad Gita, and I'm not even Hindu, come on. It's your book. Doesn't come from China. It doesn't come from America. Where does Bhagavad Gita come from? Yeah, your country. How many people here? Okay. How many people here Indian? We got something. Very good. It's your book. Spoken in your country. So one book is sufficient. If you know, and where is Kamlesh here? Mina? Kamlesh. How many verses in Bhagavad Gita? 700. If somebody would only learn one verse, what verse should they learn, Kamlesh? If you know it, say it. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masucha. If you just know that one verse. Actually, Prabhupada once said, if you just know one, any verse of Bhagavad Gita, it can save you. And there's one verse that's only two lines. So you could take the shortcut method. Anyway, the point being, you should know what is Bhagavad Gita. Then you will know exactly what to do and what not to do. So I want everyone to chant the Maha Mantra for me. Now I'd like to go to Srimad Bhagavatam. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Maharaj Parikshit is informed that he has only 7 days to live, Maharaj Parikshit understands what I mentioned in the beginning, duty. He understands responsibility. So when he's informed that he's going to die within 7 days, then Maharaj Parikshit asks a question of the sages, of the Brahmins, of the rishis, of the great personalities who have assembled on the bank of the Yamuna to see the death of Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit asked them, now that I'm about to die, what is my duty? Now here in America, when somebody is informed that they have only so much time to live, they make what is called a bucket list. Oh, I got to go to Grand Canyon. I got to go to Paris. I got to do this. I got to do this. Totally irresponsible. Maharaj Parikshit, when he's informed that he only has 7 days to live, he decides, no, what is my duty? And then Shukadeva Goswami appears on the scene, and the whole question and answers that comprises Srimad Bhagavatam commences. And that was the first thing that Shukadeva Goswami discussed. He didn't talk about Krishna. No. Shukadeva Goswami talks about Krishna later, much later. The first thing Shukadeva Goswami talks about is the art of dying. There's an art to it. You don't just die like an animal. No, there's an art to dying. And Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam teaches you that art of dying. So there's a very nice verse by Shukadeva Goswami. And let's see how your Sanskrit is. Please repeat. Antakale tu purusha. Agate gata sadvasa. Chinyad asanga shastrena spriham dehe nuye chatam Very good. Your Sanskrit is very good. Please repeat. At the last stage of one's life, one should be bold enough not to be afraid of death. But one must cut off all attachment to the material body and everything pertaining to it and all desires thereof. So this is a very complete analysis by the expert spiritual scientist, Shukadeva Goswami. We recall, we should understand who is actually speaking. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Vyasadeva, while he includes it, yeah, I think we should close the door. Good idea. Some people don't want to hear about death. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, when Vyasadeva is mentioning, he doesn't say Krishna Uvacha. He says Bhagavan Uvacha. Because he wants the reader to pay attention. Huh? This is the supreme authority speaking. Not just some ordinary person. This is the supreme authority. So similarly, we should understand who is Shukadeva Goswami. Why was he selected? Because in the assembly were so many great exalted sages and rishis and brahmins and demigods. Why was this person selected? When he arrived on the scene, he was naked. That usually is a disqualification. We're not going to allow somebody naked to walk into the temple room. But everybody in the assembly agreed, Shukadeva Goswami is the best person to deal with the questions of Parikshit. He was self-realized in the womb of his mother. He was so self-realized, he didn't want to come out. He stayed in the womb of his mother for 16 years. His father, nobody could convince him. When Krishna came, Krishna personally came to Vyasadeva's wife and spoke to Shukadeva in the womb, said, Shukadeva, why are you not coming out? Shukadeva said, I'm self-realized. If I come out, I'll fall into Maya. So why I should come out? Krishna said, no, don't worry. You're not going to fall into illusion. On Krishna's word, Shukadeva finally came out of the womb, but immediately took sannyas. Because he saw, grihasthas, I don't want to stay with them. He took sannyas. And Vyasadeva, you can imagine, 16 years waiting for your son, and he finally comes out. So long! Vyasadeva, wait. So Shukadeva, being compassionate, he expanded himself. He cloned himself. And one Shukadeva went back with Vyasadeva and his wife, and the other Shukadeva went on to realize and, realize the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Shukadeva was accepted at that time as the authority. So if Shukadeva Goswami says something, it's authoritative. So what is he saying in this verse? At the last stage of one's life. So he's speaking to Parikshit. Why? He got the notice. 7 days. He was fortunate. Why? Because we don't necessarily get a notice, do we? It could come at any time. So he was fortunate because at least he knew, I have 7 days to get everything in order. Therefore, how much more we have to be conscientious, knowing that at any moment I may have to leave. So therefore, the urgency of being Krishna conscious is now. Don't put it off. I know so many people over the years, I will try to preach to them, and they will say, I'm young now, let me enjoy. Later on, I'll do spiritual life. No, There's no guarantee that you're going to do that when you're older, if you get to be older. And then what happens? If you put it off, put like, oh, what's tomorrow? April 15th. Anybody here not done their taxes? How many people did it yesterday? There are people like that. They wait till the last second, last minute. So we should not be like that. We should be ready at any moment to leave this world, settle up all the accounts in our lives. So the last stage of your life could be, here's your child, no guarantee, right? You want your child to live long life, but no doctor can guarantee that, right? Can't do that. So everybody's old. Everybody's at the last stage of their life. And that's why going to funerals is very good. Why is it good? Because it's a wake-up call, right? Sometimes the businessman, he's getting a hotel room, so he will tell the receptionist, please ring my bell at 5 o'clock, because I have a very important meeting. So the desk clerk at 5 a.m., the phone goes off, Mr. Mudha, it's time to go to into your meeting. So when we go to funerals, it's a wake-up call, because that is going to be me next. Whether it's tomorrow or 10 years or 20 years from now, that is going to be me. Am I ready? Have I settled up everything that I need to do? So that's why Shukadev says, bold enough not to be afraid of death. And we already gave you Krishna's instruction. There's no need to be afraid of death because you're not really dying. You're simply changing clothes, changing cars, changing bodies. That's all that's happening. And if you've been a good boy or girl, then you have nothing to worry about. Like sometimes, you know, when the police or the lawyers in the court, they ask questions, they'll say, well, if you've got nothing to, you know, guilty about, then do the DNA test. Right? But you have to ask yourself, was I a good boy or a good girl? Yes, that's the question. That's what Bhagavad Gita is teaching. Be good. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is instructing us, be good. Live your life in the mode of goodness. Be religious. Be pious. Don't be a rascal. Don't be sinful. Don't be a demon. That's why you have to know Bhagavad Gita, so that you know what is to be done, what is not to be done. Then you won't be afraid of death. So, we should not be afraid of death, especially if you are pious and religious. Like we say in America, can you look at yourself in the mirror? But if you are a rascal, a scoundrel, a cheater, a rogue, you cannot look at yourself in the mirror. No. But if you have a clear conscience, then you have no problem. Now, the second half of this verse. So the first thing is, don't be afraid. And Krishna said, one reason why not to be afraid is nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. You are going to die. That's it. That's the facts of life. I know for me, at what age, 5, 7, 8, it dawned on me, oh, I'm going to die? That was a shock. My nephew, he died when he was 5 years old. So maybe I was 7 or 8 when I went to my first funeral. And I saw the dead body of my nephew. He was just a couple of years younger than me. And that's when it hit me. Oh, I am also going to die. And it was hard, in a sense, to accept it. That yes, one day I am going to die. But Krishna is saying, no, there's no need to lament. Why? Because you're not really dying. You're not really dying. You, the soul, the person, the real you, that is not changing. That's going on. One must cut off all attachment to the material body. There you go. There is the whole struggle of spiritual life. That's it, in one sentence. Cut off all attachment to the material body. Look at Kunti. When Kunti is, Krishna is about to leave Hastinapur. It's after the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna is about to get on his chariot. Kunti stops Krishna and offers these beautiful prayers. And Kunti is saying, no, don't leave us now. Better we have all the calamities, because when we had calamities, you were with us. Now, my son is the king. We're living nicely. Now you're going? Nah. Let's have the calamities back, because with the calamities, we had you. And one of the things Kunti said was, my Lord, sever my tie of affection for my family members. But that's not all. Not that she just wanted to become impersonally detached. She said, let there be no more attachment for my bodily relationships, but let me have full attachment to you. So, in order to cut off attachment to the material body, you have to replace that attachment with attachment to Krishna. That is the essence of the personal philosophy. Impersonal philosophy is cut off, just become detached. Whereas the personalist philosophy is, yes, let me cut off attachment to this material body and replace it with attachment to Krishna. Then it's easy. Therefore, a good defense is a good offense. In other words, increase your activity of spiritual life. Just like, what are you doing right now? You are hearing. This is the first item of spiritual life. By hearing, you are cutting off attachment to the material body. And if I keep talking this science of Krishna consciousness, you are replacing that detachment with attachment to Krishna. Both have to be two sides of the same coin. Detachment from the material, because what does it mean, attachment to the material body? It means sense gratification. It means enjoying an illusory condition of life, which is one day going to evaporate. Whereas attachment to Krishna is real attachment. You will be forever happy. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is the description of happiness in the mode of ignorance, happiness in the mode of passion, and happiness in the mode of goodness. But all three of them have the same common denominator, limited and temporary. You are soul. You will never be happy with anything limited or temporary. For the soul to actually be happy, the soul needs unlimited and permanent. And that is what you get from a relationship with Krishna. When you develop a loving relationship with Krishna, that relationship is eternal, forever, and your bliss, your happiness increases moment after moment. So therefore, the most important thing you can do is increase your attachment to the process of loving Krishna. It's called bhakti yoga. And as I said, you're doing the first one, hearing. As much as possible, you should hear about Krishna. Hear about Krishna's name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia. Anything that has a direct relationship with Krishna, hear about it. And as you hear about it, describe it, sing it, chant it. These two processes, hearing and chanting, form the foundation of a solid relationship with Krishna. Then you can easily become detached to the material body and everything pertaining to it. So that means the material body, the house, the family. That's all has to do with the body and all desires thereof. That's why you'll see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will talk about becoming free from material desires. Material desires are desires which pertain right here to the material body and its, in this section also, the fallible soldiers that we take shelter of. Bank balance, big nation, community, family, sons, daughters. No. One day, you're going to have to say goodbye to all of it. One day. And then you'll get a new one. Now, here's the thing. Since you're going to get another family, because there's another story in the Bhagavatam, King Chitraketu had 10 million wives, but only after the Rishi Angira gave a potion, did one wife was able to give him a son. So, after the son was born, the 9,999,000 other queens became jealous. What? We're going to become maidservants now for the one queen that gave birth? So they killed the child. So later when Angira and Narada came, Narada was able to bring the dead child back to life. And the dead child spoke to his parents. Why are you lamenting? I was your son for a few hours or a few days. I've already taken my next birth in my next family. So we're in the same boat. I've had so many families before. When I told this to my father 15 years ago, I made him cry. We were driving in the car with my wife, and I told my father, yes, you're my father in this life. But I've had so many fathers in the past, and I'm going to have so many more fathers. And my father was thinking, what? You're my son. Yes, I'm your son in this life. He couldn't grasp that concept. But that is what Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are informing us. So your next family is already there. If you had so many in the past. Now the question is, what kind of family do you want next? That's the question. And that all depends how I behave in this life. Because, and you children, pay attention. Alright, children? So you may or may not like the family you're born in. But if you're not good, the next family is going to be worse. That's called the law of karma. So if you want your next family to be better, then you have to be a good boy or girl. Now, the best family would be a family in the spiritual world. Who would like to take birth, their next birth, in a family in the spiritual world? Very smart. I see that I'm with a smart group of people. Yes. So, somebody should ask, well, Prabhu, what should I do? How can I have my next birth in the home of a devotee or spiritual transcendental family? The answer is very simple. Chant the Maha Mantra without offense. If you can chant the Maha Mantra without offense, then your next life will be in Achyuta Gotra, the family in the spiritual world. So we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there are 10 offenses in this matter of chanting. And there's a way to get to the point where your chanting is quickly offenseless. And that is called taking shelter of the Panchatattva. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. So we chant that first so that we can become free from offenses. Now that we are free, let's do it one more time. No. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura. Now we have become cleared from offenses. Now we can chant the Maha Mantra. Kakanaji. So, Batukji, do you have any questions? Were you satisfied? Did I give you what you were looking for? Good. Anybody have a question they would like to ask? You want me? Okay. So, his question is, in the present family, what is my duty? All right, very good question. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. One should not become a parent, father or mother, unless you are able to deliver your dependents from the cycle of birth and death. That's your duty. Your duty as father or mother is to raise your children in such a way that they have every opportunity to become self-realized and liberated in this life. So, most of you are doing that. You yourselves are following, what book should we follow? All right, you yourselves are following your teaching your children to follow Bhagavad Gita. That's all it's expected. You do it and teach your children. Now let's go further. What is the husband's duty to the wife? Now the women are like, oh, what's he going to say? The husband's duty to the wife is to give full protection, full maintenance. Keep her satisfied with food, shelter, and protection. What is that protection? Protection from falling into illusion. Protection from falling into sinful life. Many times, it so happens that somebody thinks, oh, I am marrying Kardamamuni. Oh, I am marrying Devahuti. But after a while, you realize, oh, I married Kamsa. Oh, I married Putana. So, one needs to be an example. So one has to follow Bhagavad Gita themselves. So the husband's duty, maintain the family, maintain religious principles. Wife's duties, I will tell you what Krishna says, not what I say. What Krishna says, one of my favorite stories. The night of the Rasa dance, when Krishna and the gopis are discussing, and Krishna is trying to tell the gopis to come home, go home. And the gopis are saying, not so fast. You blew the flute, we are ready to dance. So Krishna tells the gopis, what is the topmost duty of a woman? Obey the husband, take care of the children. That is the topmost duty of a woman, as told by this Krishna, not some other Krishna, this Krishna. Obey the husband. Now the husband is saying, thank you, Nirantara. Thank you. And take care of the children. And husbands, that doesn't mean now you become Ravan. Oh, now she will do what I say. No. You have to be like Ram. Religious, pious, good. Works both ways. Children. Children have duties. Oh, yes. Where are the children? What do I tell my children that come to my programs? Obey your parents. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that one should worship superiors. And Prabhupada puts in the translation, one should worship superiors like the father and mother. So you children that are here, your parents are devotee parents. You cannot expect Krishna's blessings if you disobey your devotee parents. So parents, be devotees. Don't be demons. Be devotees. Then you've got Krishna on your side. And you can tell your children, if you don't do what I say, don't worry about me. You're not going to get Krishna's blessings. Then you better obey your parents. How's that? Very good? All right, time for one more question. One more? Yes? All right. Correct. Very good. One last question? Okay, thank you very much. Let us thank Batuk for having this nice program in memory of his mother. We can chant one time for Lilawati. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Hare Rama.